Yes, Lord. We just give you praise and glory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not going to stand up here and blubber. I'm going to stand up here, Lord Father, and glorify you. And even when I took my glasses off, it's like I take the mask off. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I've got notes, and I've got a lot of stuff. But I'm just going to speak, I think, mainly from my heart. I kept hearing the Lord say, just different words that came. Get rid of the things. You can't take it where you're going. And I thought, what already? You've done, you know, feel like you stripped yourself of everything. And the Lord did tell me, he said, this is for healing for me, but I'm going to heal through you, because even though this, my title is uniquely hard but good, and Kylie's always said my daughter, I'm unique, and she is. She's different. But then I heard somebody say recently, we are all unique. And you know, and I've made this statement, this family, the Wolf family, have brought me into it, and they've stayed with us the last 3 years. Lord God, I hope they threw them all away when they made Lara Ray. I said that. But you know what I recently heard someone say? He broke the mold when he made every one of us. Because there's nobody like me. There's nobody like Uta. That he made us different. He made us unique. But uniquely hard but good, he didn't make any of us that don't go through the hard times. He said, if you will suffer with me, you will also reign with me. And it's kind of like, okay, God, I'm content to be a little peon. I don't want to reign because I don't want to suffer. And I just started writing some notes at the hospital the other day. And Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think, the plans that I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, for a future and expected end. But then there was something just really unique, because we hear the word, but do we really hear the word? And I was told not too long ago, said, Nancy, you've got it up here, but now God wants to bring it down here. Because, buddy, I can quote that word. But what good does it do if I don't live that word? I know the plans that I have for you. They're not my plans. They're his plans. And then Ephesians 1:4 came, and he said, well, because in letting go of the things that you can't take with you, it's like, Lord, what do you want me to let go of? And so it's just, really, I didn't know. And then, and I did introduce Nancy 2 weeks ago and said I don't like her. Because I got the title to my conference. And I'd already been crying. And it's like, uniquely hard but good. And I have to say, I haven't seen a lot of good yet. But it's okay, because I knew it was God. And I was going through just memories of things that he was wanting to get up and out. Because that's what I can't take into the next season. That's what we've got to let go of. He said, forget the former things. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. But he's doing it. It's him that's doing it. And he reminded me of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And I love the Amplified that says, before the world was formed, he went himself in love. And he chose Nancy K. Hendrick. That's who I was. And then I became a Robinette. And he chose me to be his child. Because he had plans for me. And then Ephesians 1:11, he predestined works. He said, there's a work that I want you to do. I wasn't raised in church. I got saved the year after I got married, and I've been married 44 years, so I've been saved 43 years. And I had good moral parents, but we were lost. We were heathens. We were good heathens. And But he said, before the world was ever formed, I went and chose you. And he said, I have works that I want you to take and do. And I thought, who? Me? And he says, I want my glory to be seen upon you. He said, I want witnesses in the land of the living. And he said, Nietzsche, I want you to be a witness for me. And I think, who? Me? And then 2 Corinthians 3:3 says, we are living epistles. And what we say and what we do, people are reading the book, our life. And but then during the course of life, things happen. Not of our choosing. Sometimes, because we have chosen, we've made wrong choices, we suffer the consequences. But nobody starts out to say, I want to be a drug addict, a prostitute, stupid and quit school, a bad mom, you know, and those kind of things. But that just stuff happens. And it was funny, as much as I thought I knew the Word of God, I'm looking for the scripture that says, man proposes and God disposes. Oh, that's not in the Word of God. But thank God I've learned to use Google, y'all. And I just put that in there. And it pops up and it comes out of a book. The second, and this is what Google says, the second most highly read book. I never heard of it, let alone read it. And it's a devotional, The Imitation of God. The Imitation of Christ. The Imitation of Christ. And I said, wow. But see, who are we to be imitating but Christ? So then the Lord said, you know, like I said, all my memories and different things like getting rid of. And but God said, Romans 8:28, but all things. And it's kind of like what's left out. A-L-L, three little words. Work together for good to them that love the Lord and that are called according to his purpose. Well, what have I got to do with all this? It's his plan. It's his purpose. But what about me, Lane? What about me? What about my feelings? What about what I want to do? I don't want to be a mouth. I don't want to get up here and expose my sin. And I'll go ahead and throw that in James chapter 5, I think. I didn't write it down. It says, confess your fault one to another. Pray ye one for another that ye yourself may be healed, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I'm here today to confess my sin. And so then I went to my questions, and even really before I got started, I'll share this. And I was laying in bed, and all of the hurtful things, the hard things, and I don't have a problem saying probably pity party. It's like not fair, and it's not, and I didn't ask for it. And I went to bed, and I started crying because it's been hard. And all of a sudden it hit me, Ida. I said, God, you wouldn't have let me go through any of this if you didn't trust me that I could do it. Amen. So it was like, whoa, God, he trusts me. He trusts me to go through this, to handle being one of eight kids, being number four, having a good mom and dad, but feeling rejection from generational things, from ungodly mindsets, even as being a Christian. You know what I'm saying? So one of the biggest tools the enemy's used with me is rejection. And a lot of things, my daughter just went and got a new job, and it was a God thing. In 2 weeks, she met this couple, and they were out of Seattle, Washington, yet they've tell her about a job with Restoring the Foundation in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and Kylie's gone. And then we, our pastors, have some representatives from Atlanta with RTF. And it's any kind, generational addictions, blah, 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 whatever. And so I'm a work in progress, because God is, which my pastor knows, I'm not a good note taker to get up and speak. I just go with the flow. And So, but I haven't been able to write it all down because he even gave me some this morning during prayer time. So that, but anyway, they come, and there's so many things that are happening because the sins of the fathers are handed down to the third and fourth generation. And where we come in really to agreement with those familiar spirits that were sinful, we need to repent. We didn't even realize, and sometimes we don't even realize that we're dealing with them. So some of the things that you're going through are generational. Some of them are wrong mindsets because there were four things. And I was telling Kylie, and I only remembered three, and she said, oh, I've got another one I can tell you about. And it's like, there's this old saying, and I really don't remember what the old saying is. It's like, but better watch out because it's like you're creating a greater monster than you are. But I'm just using that old saying as an example because I am a mighty woman of God. Amen. But my daughter is a greater anointed woman of God. So there's been some hard things, but she said, do you want me to give you a word today, Mom? And she goes to her prayer journal and she starts because she left it. She said, don't read it. It's got stuff about you. I said, I'm your mother and I can read what I want. She said, you want me to read it to you? She's my best friend. So the first question. That same night that, like I said, Lord, you wouldn't have trusted me that allow me to go through this if you didn't trust me. And then it's like, what is the hardest thing that you've asked a loved one to do for their good? And so God's bringing up a lot of hurtful memories and stuff like that and whatever. And I said, God, I can't do this. I can't go there. And through some wise counsel and whatever, and it's like, okay, yeah, I can share that there was a loved one that made a mistake, and that person has really suffered because of that mistake. And the Lord comes to me, and he says, Nancy, I want you to go tell that loved one that they need to confess that sin. And Tammy, if that person doesn't do it, you do it. And I cried. And I cried. And I said, God, I don't like being called. I don't like being anointed. I don't like that being my job. It's not my plans, it's his plans. And I did it. And the person did it. And it worked out pretty good. Because it's not over yet. And when I got this, I really felt like I needed to go into more, but it's not my story. So that's all you get on that. to be continued. What is the hardest thing that God's ever asked you to do? Now, immediately with the other one, I got the first answer. So then I thought, okay, well, I know a lot of you that do know probably would think having cancer the second time and going through chemo, because I take chemo every Monday. And I lost my kidney 24 years ago, and I had to have surgery. It had nothing to do with the cancer except that there was this hole back here, and my intestines decided to go around there and fill that hole up. And I had a lot of blockage, and I blamed it all on the chemo because before then, I went to the doctor June the 2013 and had a chest x-ray, and it wasn't my regular doctor, and I don't even know what I went to the doctor for, and I'm not stupid. I think he maybe said, well, if it continues, go see your primary care doctor, and I thought, okay, well, it didn't continue, so that's it. Then August the 4th, 2014, they call and they say, Miss Robinette, this is Dr. Joseph's office. You had a test a year ago. And I thought, and so what? And it's like, they found something and we want to come do another chest x-ray. Is that okay? And I thought, well, they found something. And so I go and I have peace like you won't believe. And so I went to see Dr. Joseph. She's Indian. Couldn't stand her when I met her, and I had her for probably about 15 years. And she said, Miss Robinette, I am going to teach you to trust me. And later through the years, I said, Dr. Joseph, it wasn't you. I didn't trust. It was God. Because she said, I'm going to pray for you. She's a godly woman. And I turned 65 and I don't get her. But she gets on the computer and checks my test. And she calls me. And so she said, Miss Robinette, we're going to do the chest x-ray. If something's there, we're going to do a CT scan. And I thought, well, they're not going to find nothing. Well, they found something. And so I said, okay, we'll do the CT scan. And we did the CT scan. And they found something and said, we're going to pump you up to pulmonary. And it's like, okay. And I had peace. I just prayed. Because on August the 4th, when I got the telephone call, I hung the phone up and I said, God, I'll walk through this in faith and not fear. Because the first time, my pastor told me I had just sinned a little bit and I needed to confess my sin and God would heal me. And I was 41 and Kai was 10. And I have a son 7 years older that I dearly love. We were like this. But like, Kylie's my baby. And she's a girl. And her and her mommy, you know, she's my best friend. And I had peace like a river during it all. Test after test after test. And I told Kylie, they're scratching their heads. I'm going to be a sign and a wonder, and they're wondering what's going on. Well, October the 24th, from August the 4th to October the 24th, I got a call on a Friday, and the doctor said, Miss Robinette, I hate to give you bad news on a Friday, but said, you have lung cancer. It's renal cell, but it metastasized after 24 years. Unheard of. So, anyway, so I have cancer, and I was adamant, no chemo, but I'm not going in that. You can go back to Point to Hope from a year ago and hear all that. And so I could say, man, that was hard, David, going through cancer the second time. And I didn't have any chemo or anything the first time, but this time I have chemo. So I know what my brother's going through, and he knows what I'm going through. But that's not the hardest thing I've done, because look at me. I lost 80 pounds. And it just came off, and my skin sagged, and I had no muscle tone. I couldn't eat anything. And I thought it was the chemo. Well, it wasn't. I had that bowel blockage. My intestines just, everything tangled and shut down. So they did surgery July the 31st. But I met Lilia here before then, the year before. It's been a year. And Dave McDonald says, everybody gather around this woman. Intercessors, and here comes Lilia, and she took my number, and we've been friends, and we don't talk all the time, but she sends me an email, we go to different meetings, and she said, are you going to Jim's meeting? And I said, no, I'm in the hospital. She said, can I come pray for you? And she says, oh, Nancy, she's just grinning and laughing, and I'm sicker than I've ever been. And I'm laying there, and she said, I just see Jesus laughing. Oh, he's just loving on you. I'm glad somebody could see it, because I couldn't see it and I couldn't feel it. And she said, oh, but Nancy, you're going to... She said, now he's laying his head on your chest. And she said, you're going to see that this surgery is pivotal in your healing. And when I was repeating it, I saw a foot go like that, like with a black shoe. And so I had the surgery. I didn't have chemo for 2.5 months. I come out and... my oncologist sends me to MCG for, they're thinking this could have been cancer related, but it wasn't. And after 2.5 months, and every time I'm up here, I said, oh, praise God, because I felt human again. I just felt like a human, David. And I said, man, and I could eat. It took a little while to learn because I couldn't pass gas. That's how important your bowels and everything. I couldn't go to the bathroom, couldn't do anything. And I started feeling better. And after that surgery in 30 days, but you can listen to that on Point to Hope, because God spoke to me during that time. Buddy, I got out on August the 5th, but they put me back in on August the 11th, which is my birthday. And on August the 12th, the Lord said, your warfare has been completed. You've been reborn. And this is one of my pastors. And I tell them, they'll say, what are you doing? You look good. I said, I look like $1 million, don't I? Everybody laughs. And I said, but I say that on purpose because I feel like it, because you had to see me. I got out of the hospital on Thursday after 2 weeks, 14 days. And Chuck Pierce had put a word, it's time to press in, it's time to press in. I had to go to church. I had to go to church because I would look in the mirror and I would cry. And I said, I look like a freak. Nothing fit me. And you would think losing 80 pounds because I weighed 250, that would have been a good thing, right? And it was like, oh, but when I went in, two women just come and started pulling that off of me. So I said, wow, God. And I tell all that because that's not the hardest thing I've went through. And it's like, it's not. It's not. And then Kylie went to Africa at 22, and her daddy didn't support that, and it was hard, but it was God. But then she just recently moved because she came back home in March or April before I got the phone call in August, and we'd go to a meeting, and this man would say, Kylie, it's so important that you be home at this time. He said, God's got you here, because she didn't want to leave D.C. She loved the city. She loved the pace and everything. And so she'd come home, and thought, man, wonder what you're doing home. You know, I love to go see Kylie in the city. I only went 10 times in the 3.5 years, and I love D.C. It's beautiful. The history is what I love. And so then I had the surgery and everything, and this couple comes from Seattle, and they talk to Kylie and everything, and she's got a job, and she goes with me to Ohio to speak at Nancy's conference, and we dropped her car in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and we came back home on the 25th. I dumped her in Hendersonville, and I said, it's one of the easiest things I've done because it's a God thing. But I missed my best friend. But you know what I knew? I'm going to be okay. Because like I gained 20 pounds back that I lost, more than I wanted, but I needed to. I really needed to get my strength and health back up and everything. And I said, but Lord, that's not the hardest thing that you've had me do. What's the hardest thing you've had me do? Forgive people. Not going through cancer. Because like I said, rejection's been a big thing. And all of those hurts, and I thought about it. I said, there's things that just see kept coming, rejection and hurt. And I thought I didn't do anything. And when I was diagnosed this time, last time it was easy. I had surgery, the kidney came out, and I was cured. And this time people that knew me would come, oh, hey, Miss Robertson, I can't talk right now. And it's kind of like, okay. And it's like, oh, good to see you. Can't talk right now. And they would run. Like in a setting like his, they wouldn't stay out there and talk with me. They wouldn't be in here and talk with me. They wouldn't go eat with me. And I wanted to say, hey, you can't catch it. And then I wanted to say, I didn't do anything. Right. Wrong. And then David, I learned it's what I'm doing right that the enemy's trying to kill me. But the enemy isn't in control because God said, I know the plans that you have. I have the plans. They're not your plans. And yes, you've had to go through a lot of these things. And then everything Nancy has said has been my testimony. And the Lord showed me, but it's just been in the last couple of weeks. You see those stones? They're my stones. But now she took some of hers down and put them up. And I hadn't taken all mine down yet. Because I built them up against brothers and sisters. I built them up against my husband. I built them up against religious leaders because I've not been accepted. But I started into a Bible study, and the Lord has really used this woman with me. And, you know, people say, oh, respect their gifting. And she said, or, you know, you follow after Nancy or point to hope. And she said, follow Jesus and honor the Jesus in Tisa. Not her gifting, not that Dee can paint. What Dee do? Other people can paint, but she is anointed to paint. That's the Jesus gift in her, you know? So honor the, and I thought, whoa, God. Well, then at Bible study, we had a woman come in, and some things happened that we were not aware of. But while she was there, she was Jewish, and she was sharing about praying the blessing. And she said she lives in Israel, and she would go down and she would see those ABC Israel soldiers, RFD, IDFs. I don't know what they're called. They're something, but they're numbers, letters. And she would say, "Oh, can I pray for you? Bless you. Can I bless you?" And the policemen and the firefighters or whoever it was, I don't know, all these people. But she said there was one group I couldn't bless. She said, "I couldn't bless an Arab." Well, see, I'm not over there, so I don't know, but the Arabs are Christians. But she said she couldn't bless the Arabs. And she said, "Lord?" Now, this has been 3 weeks ago. And she said, "Lord, what is it? I don't hate them. I don't have unforgiveness toward them." And I thought, I don't either toward these people that had hurt me in the rejection. But there's a wall there. And she said, "The Lord spoke to me and he told me what I had." And Carolyn, she said, "I had disdain. And it hit me. I had disdain toward these people that had hurt me." Well, you know, I just have a high school education. I said, I wash dishes and change diapers for a living. That's what I've done. And I did that really well, and I'm through, and now God's using me here. But I said, I need to go get the dictionary definition rather than my mind. And you know what that is? Now, I want you to know my husband was in there, and probably the biggest one. I don't have a bit of problem saying that. But you know what I was thinking about it? They know my husband. God. Not Nancy, not Larry. God's done something right because I am in a unique group of people. I've been married to the same man for 44 years. I understand the word covenant. I understand commitment through the good, the bad, and the ugly. But we all have it. I'm not unique in that area. You know, come tell me if you've got the perfect marriage. But I heard this word disdain, and I said, okay, and I Googled it at the hospital, and it's like, oh, God, that's a terrible thing to have. I didn't already say what it meant, did I?
No.
Okay. What did you say? Yes, I think it grows. I know that. Good question. Thank you, David. Not deserving of respect. That's an ugly thing, isn't it, Pam? That's an ugly thing. She had disdain toward the Arabs. But then God showed me I had disdain toward other people. And it's like, that's what you cannot take. Where you're next season, where you're going. And it's like, oh, wow. Then, like I said, these are just thoughts and things that started coming. One of the scriptures that the Lord gave me, and I was going to look it up and I didn't, so I'll give you all homework. Y'all do it. You got a Bible. Since the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violent taketh by force. And I thought, since the time of John the Baptist, well, when was the time of John the Baptist? Before Christ. He come and he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And I thought, wow, since the very beginning, the kingdom of God has suffered violence. And then I'm reading, and it's like, the kingdom of God is within you. Evelyn talked this morning, we're not citizens of the United States. We have been adopted into the family of God. We have been raised up and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he said, it's beneath your feet, all of your problems and things. But one of the things, and I'm going to throw it in here so I don't forget it, because that was one of the things that come from RTF, Restoring the Foundations, is ungodly mindsets. So with everything that I've been through, I didn't renew my mind and look from God's perspective and know. Now, I know it here, I am raised up and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, where is Christ Jesus? He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And he said, your problems are down here. Oh, thank you, Lord, because I knew I forgot something, but he'd bring it back to me. So I cried, Lord. Oh, but then I figured it out. He trusts me. Well, then the next night I go to bed. And it's like, okay, Satan, you are not going to steal that. Thank you, Lord. And it's like all of the things that I went through, which it's none of your business, that, you know, hurts and things like that and everything. And the Lord started speaking to me at the Bible study. And even after I went home and went to bed and I was just laying in bed crying. And he said, Nancy, Tammy, Carolyn, Uta, Karen. I don't know everybody in here, but a whole lot. He said, I know everything you've been through. I ordered your footsteps. And he said, you know, Nancy, when I took you down those places, Terry, I wasn't supposed to fix them. I was just supposed to be a light. And it's like, whoa. Then when you realize, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and you keep on going, and he was the light of the world. But he says, Nancy, you're the light of the world. But I put a wall up. And like Nancy, the ones that were here, you couldn't get through. You couldn't see. And it says, who? And I mean, I would just read different things, and it's like, here would be something. Who lights a candle and puts it under a bushel? And it says that the darkness cannot comprehend or overcome the light. But it also says, and this is why we are the light of the world, because men loved darkness better than the light, because the light exposes their sin. So why do you think the rejection has come? Because of the light of Christ. But the trouble, poor old me, my nobody likes me. My pastor told me I was too wordy and I talk too much. I go too fast and I go too long. Oh, but... is that okay, Elaine? Come to me the next time you want to speak, Nancy, and I want to put you in the pulpit. She already knows this. I spoke it again at her church, and I went and I said, when pigs fly, I'll come and tell you I'll speak again. And it took a month. Hey, I confess your faults one to another. I told her because God put me in their church. They pray for me all the time. They love me. And they tell me what an inspiration I am. Because I haven't given up and I still come. Even with chemo or whatever. And it's kind of like, hey, y'all. And David, I don't want to take away from you. Because Dee asked me, how are you, Nancy? I was cooking. And it was funny and I didn't think about it. She said, do you cook from memory or do you cook from taste? Now, who would have asked me that in here? Her brother has cancer. And I said, from memory, because it doesn't taste good. That, you know, condiments. I made Nancy vegetable soup, which is good because I had my husband taste it. And but I don't taste it because tomatoes are terrible. Sugar's terrible. And whatever. But the Lord said, Nancy, I have a phone call. I wanted you to be a light. And it was like, whoa. And so it puts this whole different mindset on it. And that's what he said. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, a living sacrifice. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect acceptable will of God. There we go again. It's not my will. It's his will. And so, but at the Bible study, because it's God, Anna's just praising God. And she says, you know, because she was sharing some of the things that had happened the week before we weren't aware of and we needed to know. But she said, because my husband isn't my enemy, My former pastors are not my enemy. Elaine wasn't my enemy, because one time I got into a place really low, and I didn't know how I got there, and I didn't know how to get out. And if you didn't know how you got there, and I told her, but I called her, and I said, Elaine, do some tapes, because when I did get back in the pulpit after I told her, forget it. I didn't tell her, I just thought it. But then I eventually told her later after I spoke. And I said, Elaine, Lord, give me a message. And it was on the Ark of the Covenant, carrying the presence of God, because we are the Ark of the Covenant. We carry the presence of God. And she said, Nancy, you need a week? You need 2 weeks. And those of y'all that know me, I can talk. And I said, I don't think I could do 2 weeks in the pulpit, though. And so I got up and I spoke. And I said, you know, I think it might go 2 weeks. But Elaine, it might go 3. She said, you're free. And I spoke. And I couldn't wait till Thursday morning prayer, because she always gives you a copy. And I got in the car and I put it in the car. And I thought, oh, who is that speaking? Who is that woman? And then... So, you know, but then so I'm in a bad place. And I said, but Elaine, I need some more copies, because different people had asked for some CDs of mine. And well, I had a friend in Kentucky, she called me. And see, God will raise up anybody. She's a little Baptist woman up there. And she called me, and she's been friends with her for about 46 years, because we dated for 2 and I got to know her. And Dorme called me and she said, Nancy, what is going on with you? And don't tell me anything. And I'm thinking, you don't talk in tongues. You're not filled with the Spirit. She's an intercessor. And I told her, I said, well, I've been diagnosed with cancer. Right before my surgery, she calls and she says, or right after, she said, what's been going on? And I said, Dorme, are you praying? Because I said, when God lays somebody, but especially me, you pray. Don't you worry, you call, you pray. She said, I am praying. She called me 3 times. But she said, Nancy, and we get on the phone to talk, and she said, I love listening to you. I said, you do? I got something for you. And I went and got the previous tapes and those 3 tapes. And then I spoke again on being a victim or a victor, because that's, I see. And when I asked Elaine for those tapes, she said, I know where you're at and how you got there. And I said, you do? And she said, can you handle the truth? I said, Elaine, I don't like where I'm at. She said, Nancy, look at the date on this. You haven't spoke since 11/15, and this was probably March. She said, you're a mouth, and you're not using it. And I said, and I would sit every Sunday on the bench, and I would say, I know Elaine wants me to speak, but I said, God, there's nothing in me. I don't have anything to say. I'm just so empty. I don't know where I'm at and what I'm doing and blah, blah, blah. And so I knew. I didn't want to, and I called her, and I told her. I texted her. I said, Elaine, not this Sunday. I couldn't handle it that Sunday. It was too close from Thursday to Sunday. And I said, but I'll speak next Sunday. And I didn't know what I'll speak on, but the Lord gave me. And I spoke 2 weeks again. I took a whole week and told him how sorry, self-pity, blah, 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 all that kind of junk that I felt. But I said, next week, come back for the rest of the story. Because I said, I'm not a victim. I am a victor. And when I did get diagnosed that Friday, that Saturday morning, I was sitting crying, and the Lord said, Nancy, go get your notes on the potter and the clay, which I had spoke on in 2002. And I went right to my hall closet with a bunch of notebooks, and I pulled it out, and I flipped it up, and I thought, oh, I don't even remember that part. And he said, I've put you in the fiery furnace. So he's going to bring me out a whole lot sooner than later. Because I haven't quit, and I had to get back in the pulpit, and I had to do some things. Because with everything that we've went through, Nancy's scripture that she's been sharing is Isaiah 61. But Isaiah 60 is mine. Arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness will cover the earth and gross dark the people, but my light will be seen upon you. And for years, that's been my scripture. But then it switched. It says, you are anointed to set at liberty those that are held captive, to heal the brokenhearted. And you know what's so funny? That's exactly what the Lord's been doing. Because Wednesday night, we got up here and told people, oh, they just prayed for us that night. And I came and I sit here, and Lorraine come and put her hand on my chest. And I said, oh, I moved it. I said, here, it hurts. See, my heart's been hurt. And even now, he says, guard your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. And your heart's gotten hardened when you get calluses, when you've worked and raked and whatever. And so because of the cuts and the hurts, you get a hardened heart. And you have to protect your heart. And I hadn't really protected my heart because I'd been willing to get out there on the front lines and the rejection that had come. But God said, Nancy, you were just to be a light. You weren't to take and fix them. And so it was like, whoa. Because when you go on down in Isaiah 61, he said, I want to give you beauty for ashes. Young, check your Bible. Garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Yeah. Something for mourning. Oh, that's a good one. Because everything I've been hearing, we've had several prophetic teas in minds. Joy, 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 joy. And I'm thinking, I've heard enough of joy because I ain't seen it. But, because see, there wasn't a complete, that I'm a work in progress. And it's always, it's almost here. The beauty for ashes. Pam, you know where the ashes are going to come from? And I sit this morning and it was almost funny because this is some stuff that he gave me. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You all are brave souls if you were here last night to be in here because I wept and wept and wept and I don't even know that lady. She come up to me and she said, are you going to be able to speak or are you going to be in a puddle? I'll confess my sin. I almost wanted to pop you in the mouth. I thought, you don't know what I'm going through, honey. You don't know how hard this is. Yes, she did. And we prayed with each other this morning and shared. She's my new friend. But it was all this weeping and crying. And I'm thinking, God, I have to get up here and speak. What am I going to do? And then I was sitting out there this morning, and it's like, you've been in the dark night of the soul. Now, I don't even 100%, even though I've heard a little bit of talk about that from some groups that we were in. But the Lord gave me that this morning, and I thought, yeah. But now listen, people, because I'm talking to y'all from my experience, but it ain't just for me. I have been weeping and grieving over my death to self. Not my will, but yours. Do you want to know where the beauty's coming from? Or where the beauty's coming from the Lord, from those ashes? But it's when you burn on the altar. You are the ashes that he's going to take and use. And he said, but I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. But we resist dying, thinking, what about me? What about Nancy Kay? Don't I count? Don't I matter? What's going to become of me when I have to die and there's no me anymore? It's like, because we say it all the time to me and Kylie, get over it. It ain't about you. And it's all about God because it ain't about nobody else but God. It's about the Lord. But still, we're human and we're in a flesh and he knows it. But he's saying the flesh is to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not me, but Christ lives in me. And that's what he says, what's going to become of me? And I'm just writing all this morning. He said, you've been risen with Christ. For me to live is Christ, is what Paul said. And he said, I die daily. If any man will come and follow me, he's got to take up his cross daily and follow me. Because he said, I wanted you to be a light. But then at the Bible study, after Anna had shared, she said, God wants us to be radical lovers of God. And I thought, whoa, wouldn't that be neat to be able to do that? Because I went up for prayer one time with Judy Garner from Aglow. And I said, Judy, I don't have enough love. I just am so bad. I don't have enough love. And she said, Nancy, you're so full of love. You've got your face squashed into God's hand. And I thought, you don't know me. And but then Anna got to talking about Mary Magdalene. And she went and she busted the alabaster box. And the disciples got mad at her because of a lot of money. And Anna said, God wants us to be radical lovers of God. And said, let's be oily radical lovers of God this year. Make up your mind to be oily, because you are anointed, according to Psalm 61. Well, I go home, and it's like, oh, that was good. That was good. Because that was when the Lord was showing me to be a light and not fix people. The next morning, I get up, and I'm sitting on the corner of the couch, and I'm thinking some more. And it's like, whoa, God. My sister pastors a church, and she was the first one to put me in the pulpit. And I spoke at her church for years on Sundays and Wednesdays and whatever. And but then the last time I preached at her church, and it's probably been, oh, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and I said, I won't fill her pulpit again. Just a sense that I had. And so then, but it's some of that rejection and hurt and junk like that and whatever on both sides and everything. And I'm raking the yard on a Tuesday morning, and the Lord said, go call Judy and tell her you want to speak tomorrow night. I said, God, I don't want to do that. But I put that rake down, and I went and got the phone. And I didn't even have my sister's cell phone number. I had to call her daughter, which is a godly young woman, praise and worship leader. And I said, Trace, God just spoke to me and told me to tell your mama, ask your mother, could I speak tomorrow? Oh, Aunt Kay, me and Mama take turns on Wednesday night, and it's my Wednesday, you come. I said, no, 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 no. We honor authority, because that's her mama. I said, we honor authority, and you go ask the pastor. And if she says no, it's okay. She said, okay. Well, she didn't call me back that day. She called me back the next morning, Wednesday morning. Come on, AKK. I said, okay. And I said, well, God, what do you want me to do? You know, that quick. I'm not a preacher. And I said, he said, I want you to speak a little bit about communion, do communion, and I want you to wash their feet. I said, now, what are you laughing at? A lot of people, other people that don't really, really know me would think, ain't no way she's washing nobody's feet. Because a lot of people see me as arrogant. But it honors me that Nancy called me humble the last two times I've spoke. I am a humble person. But I am a confident person in what I know in the Word of God. And I know the Word of God is true. God is not a man that he should lie. That said, did he not say it? Will he not do it? Or the Son of Man that he should repent is what it says. And all the promises of God are yes and amen in him. He is not a man. A man will lie to you. But God's word. And he watches over it to perform it. So I said, okay, I'm going over and I'm going to wash Judy's feet. And Rose Stransky is a dear friend. And she said, Nancy, you want me to put about a big old email for prayer? I said, sure, I need prayer for real. And a good friend, her dad's in the hospital on his deathbed. She leaves the hospital to come listen to me, speak, be to pray. And she said, Nancy, when you bent down and washed your sister's feet, I almost lost it. And I said, well, it didn't bother me. But it's humbling for you it's humbling for you, Mike, if I would come wash your feet, wouldn't it be, to receive that, if you receive it. And so the Lord reminded me that on Thursday morning after Bible study, I went and washed my brother-in-law's feet, and my sister too. But then Rose and a bunch of us pack up. We're going to Glory Night in Atlanta, and Sunday morning, we're going to leave and go to Henry Wright's for a week. 11 o'clock Saturday night, I get a telephone call a week and a half after I'd been to my sister's church. Your brother-in-law's dead. I said, oh, my gosh. And my sister, that we're 18 months apart. We'd always been like that. But then life happens and stuff. And I said, uh-uh. Even though we hadn't been close in a couple of years, I said, I've got to go to my sister. And I called her, and she said, well, if you want to come or whatever. And I went. And I was there in Edgefield. But she called my brother from Thompson to come with her to go to the viewing to check out Les's body. And I'm thinking, but I'm here. And you know what I did? I cleaned her house. And I called a friend and I said, I don't understand it. She won't talk to me or whatever. Well, see, I was to be a light. And if it was clean the house or do whatever, and I did it. You know, change your mindset. And I don't even know why I shared that part. I don't need no credit. But I stayed for the week, that, you know. And then she told her daughter, she said, I am so ashamed that my house. But she owns a daycare. She's a pastor. She works with needy people. Defects is always having people come in and kids. And she's opened her home and whatever. And it's like, she said, Nancy, I feel so bad when I come to your house because your house is so clean. Well, I don't work. And I said, wouldn't you be surprised if you come to my house and it was real dirty knowing I didn't work? I would. It's like, what do you do, Nancy? That, you know. So, I don't clean like I used to. I dust the living room maybe once every 2 months or once a month. It doesn't bother anybody. Nobody's there. But I cleaned real good because my friends were coming. But anyway, let's get back to Mary Magdalene. She, and I said that at Anna's, she was preparing Jesus for burial. And then the Lord reminded me of washing Les's feet. Then, let me tell you, just a while ago, he reminded me of some other things. Okay, I went and washed Judy and Les's feet, and in a week and a half, Les is dead. And then my mother-in-law got sick, and in April, now this has been 12 years ago, maybe she's been dead, and we weren't close. But we go up there to visit her. I'm doing a man after God's own heart at a Bible study, and God speaks to me, and he says, go to Kentucky. He said, they're not going to recognize you when you get there, and they'll never see you the same way again. Well, why ain't they going to recognize me? I ain't changed, you know? But we pack up and go. And it was funny. Me and my husband and Kylie and her boyfriend at that time, she'd been with him for 4 years. He was her best friend. And so we go up there. And we're visiting with her. And the reason Matt went, she never recognized Matt, even though we introduced her, and she never recognized Kylie. Didn't say anything to her. And I'm thinking, what is this? And it just hurt so bad. And we got ready to leave, and because it was in Columbus, Ohio, and it was like an hour and a half away. And so Larry and his brother went one night, and me and Kylie and June went the next night. And so I said, well, Miss Robinette, I said, can we pray for you? She said, oh, Nancy, I believe in the power of prayer. So I got on this hand, and June and Matt and Kylie. So Kylie and I were on both hands. And I prayed for her, just that the Lord would heal her and give her peace and everything. And she reached up and put her hand around me and kissed my cheek. Never done that before. And I thought, whoa, God. And so we come home, and my daughter-in-law's real sweet, and she has a seer anointing. She sees things, and she said, well, Miss Nancy, how was the visit and everything? And I said, well, Amy, I told her, and she said, oh, she saw God. Just real quiet, like no big deal. I said, well, you know what, Amy? I'm just going to receive that. No, you don't understand me. I just saw it. She saw God. Now, is that heavy or what? It's heavy to me. And the Lord reminded me of that. Now, that's April. So we go back in October because she's real bad sick then, because Kylie and Punk are both in. We went for a visit and everything. And we stayed. Come back home because we took funeral clothes, but we come back home because she got a little bit better. 2 weeks later, we go back up there. But what happened, Thursday morning, because she died like 7 o'clock Saturday night, Thursday morning, my first waking thought, the Lord spoke to me and he said, Nancy, I want you to go. I want you to honor Miss Robinette. You would not be the woman that you are today without her. And it's like, okay. But I had to process it. She rejected me. And she sent me across the street in a little hillbilly town to a little store that had older women that befriended me and invited me to their house and taught me how to sew a dress and invited me to church, and I got saved. So I got saved up there. And then 12 years ago, I go back full circle. And he said, this is what I want you to say. Blah, 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 blah. And he give me, she was a mother, she was this, that, and the other, and to get up and honor her. And my friend prayed, and that's what I've been praying for this today, the prayer of Jabez, that my words would not cause pain. And my friend Audrey prayed the whole time from that funeral on, that no pain, because I said, I'm here today to stand before you to honor this woman. Her relation, our relationship was different from everybody else's because she rejected me. Now, she was not mean to me, but she didn't. She never accepted me. Well, the Lord says she's not going to live, that I want you to go and I want you to do her funeral and I want you to get Debbie Hamilton to sing, and this is what you get her to sing, and this is what you say. And it's like, okay, God. Thursday afternoon, we get a telephone. If Larry wants to see his mother, we've got to go up there. And this is where I really wanted to get to, so we go. And the Lord said, take your little Bible in. I had a little small Bible that you could, in the car. I want you to sing to her. Y'all hear this voice? And it's like, okay, because she had oxygen here and a mask too. And I went in and I took her hand and I read scripture. And then we used to meet in homes and we'd sing a lot of scripture. There's so much. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. Now, that's a song, because the Psalms are songs, but I'm not going to sing to y'all. So I sang to her, and she had not been rested at all, and she fell asleep, and she slept for a while, and I slept for a while. It was 10 o'clock at night, and she jerked, and she said, "Why, Nancy, I fell asleep." And then the Lord would say, "Pray." And I told my husband, I said, "Larry, you need to release your mother," and he did. And I thought, man, God said, tell Paul. So, because we went up there, and like I said, Friday night stayed with her, and then Saturday, she was struggling big time. And it's like the Lord said, tell Paul, he needs to tell her, because he lived up there and we lived down here. He said, tell mommy it's okay. And I said, God, I can't tell him that, because he knows we weren't close, and I'm going to say, oh, it's okay for your mother to die. I just reached my hand out, and I said, Paul. And he just come running, and he grabbed my hand. I said, tell your mom it's okay to go be with Jesus, that you're going to be okay. And he said, Mom, it's okay. And she started pulling her oxygen off, and they said, no, put it back on there. And the Lord said, I hit my knees, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, I said, she's run a race. She's tired. And I said, come quickly. And he just had me do all kinds of things, and I'm thinking, what? But I thought about it again. Did he, even though I did not anoint her, and I did pray, was he using me to prepare her for her burial? Yes, he was. Then I had, my husband had a friend, like a brother, and Freddie died. And out in Arizona, Oklahoma, that way somewhere, and they weren't churched, and they used the F word like water, but they were good-hearted people. I saw God in them. I didn't hear it. I saw it, though. But I hear it in a lot of people, and I don't see it in the church. I saw God in those people, but I didn't hear it. And I said that at Freddie's funeral, because they called and said, Nancy, can you get a pastor? I said, not one that I know. They would eat those people alive. And they really wanted Larry Ray to say something. But if it didn't pertain to hunting, he wasn't going to go talk. And then they kind of sort of wanted me, and I'm thinking, I'm scrubbing the toilet Saturday morning. And the Lord says, call him and tell him you'll do Freddie's funeral. And I did. And I said, I hope he's just as dead as he always would be, like to poor marriages and not be ordained and those kind of things. But I got up, and the Lord really used me with that family. So his mother had had a stroke, because we kept on being friends. And after I did Freddie's funeral, she hand quilted a quilt and put on in the back of it. She said, I just want you to know how much I love you, and I wanted to give you a piece of me for what you did. What a gift. Well, Peggy had a stroke, and a number of years went by, and then it's like, because I never witnessed a Fred. I, in the sense, do you know Jesus? If you die today, will you go to I didn't do that, and I didn't know. But my husband did come to me, and he said, I'm proud of you. He said, you didn't try to preach Fred saved, and you didn't try to preach the people into heaven because they're there, but you let them know. I said, if Fred knew the Lord, he's with Jesus. And if you ever want to see him again, if you don't accept Jesus, you won't go to heaven. And just kind of left it. I'm not going to beat you because you're mourning over the head, or it wasn't appropriate at that time. And for those people and whatever. And so the Lord reminded me. So anyway, Peggy has a stroke, and I go by and I visit Peggy. And I said, and Neil was there, and Peggy was 13, 15 years older than Neil, and she had a stroke, and it was blah, 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 blah. And she still cussed, and you could understand cuss words when you couldn't understand the English. And I said, it's none of my business, but I come by here for a reason. I said, and Neil happened to just stand up beside Peggy, and I said, Peggy, if you died today, do you know you'd go be with Jesus? Yes, I would. And I said, Neil, and he said, yes. I said, okay. Now, they come out with a word. I'm going to judge them. That's not my job. So, because when Peggy got sick, they called Nancy. When Peggy got, well, see, she was doing good for a number of years, and then Peggy got cancer. And Neil said, call Nancy. And I thought, what do y'all want me to do? And so I go, and I pray, and she's within days of death. And they're beating her. Mama, Mama, look at here, Susie. Susie come, like the grandchildren. I felt so sorry for them. And I go to, and I prayed for her. And she had a big 3-4 foot step up into the kitchen area, huge old house. And we went up there and sat at the table, and the grandkids and Buddy, we had church. Nancy was just preaching to those kids, and they were sucking it up. It was fun. And so I got ready to leave. I said, well, Donna Susan, I'm going to go, and I'll be back. And she said, oh, pray for Mama. I said, well, I did. So I go up, and I step back down, and I get to the end of the bed. And she opens her eyes, and she grins, and she says, plain as day, hi, I know you. I said, I know you too. And I leaned over and hugged her. And that was like around Christmas, after Christmas. April the 15th was her funeral. And she never had to go, like hospice come a little bit, and then, but she could get up and go to the potty in the chair there and whatever, and it was like, wow. But I'd go back. And then even I asked former Baptist pastor that's charismatic, I said, do you think it would be okay to do communion with her? You know, because you're in the real ritual, whatever. He said, yeah. And he said, Nancy, I'll tell you another thing if I was you that I would do. I would ask her if she's ever been baptized. And he said, I'd baptize her. And I thought, me? And I said, okay. So I go down and I say, Donna Susan, would you have a problem? And she said, no. And I said, well, Neil, would you? He said, you do whatever you want. And we had communion. One person didn't take communion. Sweetest, lovingest man, and I didn't know why until we did the funeral. And but her son was sitting there, and I said, Lord, I don't want anybody to do this. It's really not supposed to. They were raised Catholic. And I can't remember his name now. He said, I thought only a priest could do communion. I said, well, that's right. Only a priest can do communion. And the Word of God says that we are priests unto God. So I said, I can do that. Don't worry about it. So Peggy dies, and we go to the funeral, and I told him, I said, I saw God in her even though I didn't hear it, and the Lord let me know that she was right with him. And when the funeral was over, this lady come up, and she said, Miss Robinette, I want you to know that was the best message that I've ever heard out of anybody. I said, well, I appreciate that, and your name is? She said, I'm Nancy King. I'm the director of the funeral home. So I know she heard a funeral or two. We go back to the house, and Neil comes. But see, over the preparation for funeral, preparing them for their death, Neil comes and he says, you know, if anything ever happens to me, that you're going to do my funeral. I said, I don't know about that. And he said, if you started a church, I'd come. I said, you better watch your mouth. He said, start it and see. So I was in testing. And Neil already had lung cancer. And I went, October the 30th was my 43rd anniversary, the week after I got diagnosed, to North Georgia, to Benji Mallory's conference. I said, Larry, you can come. It's our anniversary. And I don't know what God's doing or what it means, but I'm going to Carrollton. Kim said, whoa, Nancy, he's doing a new thing. It's your 43rd anniversary. And I went up there, and I always stay through the Saturday afternoon, but my granddaughter wanted me to come for a Halloween thing, and I got in the car, and I had two calls, one from Fort Gordon and about an appointment, and one from Donna Susan. She said, Nancy, Papa's going quick. Can you come? I thought, no. I'm tired. I've been diagnosed with lung cancer. I can't go deal with Neil. And so we go and we do the Halloween thing, and it's over, and it's 8 o'clock. And I said, Larry, right, do you want to go to Neil and Peggy's? I said, they've asked me to come in. Neil's not doing good. Well, how long are you going to stay? And I said, I don't even want to go. But I said, if I go now, I won't have to go over the weekend. And so he said, okay, I'll go. And Freddie was divorced, but we knew his wife. We knew the first wife that died of an aneurysm, and the second wife was still, her and her new husband, which had been years, would go to Peggy and Neil's, and it was they were his adopted parents, and even though it was like an ex-daughter-in-law. So Linda was there, which represented Freddie, and then three other boys, that was all, and Neil. And so we went in, and she said, oh, Nancy, come on. She said, come to Papa, and she's sitting there doing his blood pressure, and she said, he's going quick. And I thought, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? I mean, I'm struggling with me. And he said, I leaned down and I said, Neil, your preacher's here. I said, I didn't ever build a church, but I said, your preacher's here. And I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I just prayed, and I don't really, you know, Lord, I just asked you to touch him and to come quickly and to give him peace and blah, 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 and everything. 5 minutes, he was gone. And somebody, maybe Linda, she said, oh, Nancy, Papa was waiting for you. And I said, well, I don't know about that. But you know what? The Lord showed me. I represented God to Neil. It was so humbling. Neil Norton loved me. And he saw God in me. And I'm just so amazed to think, God, who am I? But he said, you're the light of the world. He said, you're the Mary Magdalene's that need to go. And we need to prepare people today. And part of what he's been doing is killing me. But I'm here today to prepare you for your funeral. You've got to die on the altar. We've got to forgive ourselves. It's hard. We've got to forgive other people. But then it's like I put walls up because it was hard. And I said, God, what did I do that I have cancer again? Not fair. I didn't want to do chemo. I had a sister. She died at 49, 17 years, four major cancers. My mother had one chemo treatment and she had total organ failure. And I said, I'm not doing chemo. But I have two pastors. Gosh, Elaine, there's a lot of stuff about y'all say I don't like. And they pray all the time. Jonathan would say, God, give her joy for the journey. And I thought, yeah, Jonathan, you have joy. I don't even like this journey. Someone said, oh, you need to repent. You need to get over it. Well, God's big enough, David. You can crawl on his lap and you can tell him anything. It's not fair that your skin is that dark, that your chest is covered with bumps, that you don't have any hair. You could say, I don't like where I'm at. Nevertheless, I trust you. And God, I'll go where you want, and I'll say what you want, and I'll do what you want. Because I have been bought and purchased with a price. And I'm a bond slave, even though you call me friends, and I don't have a right. I am a living sacrifice. And that's the hardest thing I've had to do, is forgive God. Forgive my husband. Because guess what? It isn't over. It isn't over. But you know what? He said, but I called you. I chose you. I want to use you. And Kylie said to me at the hospital, she was so good. She said, Mama, my arms were black and blue. They couldn't get any blood to come out. And they put a PICC line in, and it was just, you know, and I just laid there. And I was blindsided with that surgery. And I blamed everything but, oh, look at me. My hair thinned. I had gout every week. And I do have one or two sores, but my face was real bad. And I couldn't brush my teeth. They put me on a pill, and it almost killed me. I had Stevens-Johnson. It was an allergic reaction. They took me off that. And April the 1st, I started an infusion, and I blamed all this stuff. And I'm on the same chemo, but since they started me back on the chemo, I was 2.5 months after, and I had the surgery July the 31st. And it's, look at my hair. I have pretty hair because I have hair. And it's like, I don't have any mouth sores. I can brush my teeth and I don't have to cry. And it's like, I have a little bit of this here. I don't have gout anymore. And Elaine, it was bad, wasn't it? Because I kept on going to church. And that's why I was such an inspiration to them. And I thought, but where are you going to go? What are you going to do? And it's like, God, that, you know, I'm just trusting you. And I really didn't know I was going to be in the fiery furnace this long. But you know what? It kind of hit me. But Nancy, you haven't died yet. You haven't died yet. because you got to tear those walls down. And you say, God, I forgive you because you've done stuff I didn't like. And I have to say, Larry Ray, I forgive you for the hurt. And Judy, I forgive you for hurting me. And my mama died, and she left six kids, and she left everything to my baby brother. And I said, what did I do, Mama, that you didn't leave anything to me? But God is good. See, if I'll go to him, Carolyn. He said, but Nancy, the Levites didn't get part of the inheritance. I am their inheritance. So my mom had an acre of land and a double-wide trailer. Do you want a sixth of an acre and a sixth of a double-wide trailer? Let's get some perspective here. Or everything I have is yours. You know? So those are my two questions. Those are my answers. And but I went to an AGLOW meeting too, and this lady gave a free book, or she gave a book. She felt led to give it to somebody, and I was real humble and nice. I didn't raise my hand, and I thought that was my book. And I went up to her afterwards, and I said, who wrote that book? She said, I did. I said, oh, I thought I was really supposed to get that book, but I didn't. She said, honey, he was in the back. She said, I have one more book. Can I sew it? He said, you can sew it. Divinely delivered. Offenses held can send you to hell. But she's writing the whole time I'm telling her I felt like I needed the book. And I didn't know the woman. I've been to a glow up there two or three times in the last, well, once a month. To Nancy, you are a treasure hidden in the field. But now is time for you to come forth. The Lord wants to display you to hurting, wounded, with his mighty healing hand upon you. I have a friend, thank you, Dee, that I used to go to church with, and she writes a blog all the time. And this morning my phone beeped, and I wanted to find this scripture. Because the one I found was just where Jesus anointed, the woman, Mary Magdalene, anointed Jesus. And this is the blog today, so I know I'm right on track. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. And Tanya says, like the woman, I too am a sinner. We've all sinned and fallen short. Said if you go to read the rest of it, she says, the woman, a sinner, comes to Jesus and washes his feet with her tears. She begins to anoint him. The Pharisees judge her. People are going to judge you for what you do. Get over it. It's not about you. And dead men don't react. Dead men don't react. And so, but said Jesus offered her forgiveness and said that she would be remembered. So, oh, that's my testimony. That's my hard but good. And I went in Evelyn's class this morning, and she really ministered to me about being a citizen of the kingdom of God and what God wants to take and use. And I'm still a work in progress. But Nancy came in when they started to pray, and she said, Nancy, the best is yet to come. And that's what I am decreeing and declaring to every one of you. My best is yet to come. And there had been so many things on breakthrough, and says, your breakthrough is almost here because you did not allow what you went through to break you. Amen. Amen. So thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. So I'm just going to close real quick. Father God, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for just allowing me to be able to share this, to know that it's not about me. And I thank you, Father God, through this, that even words that had come, that the cancer has been a distraction. It's been for my healing. It's been for the healing of my family. And I thank you, Lord Father. I decree and declare that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. And more importantly than the body, you're healing my heart. And Lord Father God, because my heart's healed, that you're going to use me to heal members of my family. And I thank you for joy that's coming in the morning. Because I'm tired. I'm very, very tired. But Lord, I trust you. I love you. And I just thank you, Lord, Father God, that I decree from this day forward, I will look at your perspective and not mine. That I will be an oily, radical lover of God, because you radically love me, Lord Father God, and I thank you in Jesus' name. One more thing. He gave me the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, and it's like, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we say amen and we stop. But if you go on, and it's in your Bible somewhere, find it. I forgot. If you will not forgive your brother his trespasses, God will not forgive yours. Now, it's above the amen, but it's in red, and it's the word of God. So if you don't forgive others, and we wonder, God, what's going on? And see, I don't have a bit of problem getting up and telling you how ugly I am. Because it's like, God knows, and who are you? That, you know, because he says, confess your faults. There was a lot of secrets I could have told, and I didn't. It's none of your business, because you have your own. You have your own. And it's like, you take them to the Lord. You don't take them to other people. And you say, Lord, I release it all. I release it all. You be magnified. You be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.